couldn't get it off the tripod," he panted. "There's some kind of latch or a lock, and if I'd had time to figure it out, or maybe I was trying to turn the Chrysler thing backward. Never mind." Sandy snatched the video cam from him. There was no problem with the tripod, anyway. The legs had been adjusted to the height of the windows in the shed's two roll-up doors for years. The problem came when Sandy pushed the on button and looked through the viewfinder. Instead of a picture, there were just red letters reading, "Low Bat." "Judas fucking Iscariot on a chariot-driven crutch. Go back, George. Look on the shelf by the box of blank tapes. There's another battery there. Get it. But I want to see... I don't care. Go on." He went, running hard. His hat had gone askew on his head, giving him a weirdly jaunty look. Sandy pushed the record button on the side of the camera's housing, not knowing what he'd get, but hoping for something. When he looked into the viewfinder again, however, even the letters reading "Low Bat" were fading. "Kurt's gonna kill me," he thought. He looked back through the shed window just in time to catch the nightmare. The thing ruptured all the way up its side, spilling out that black ichor not in trickles, but in a flood. It spread across the floor like backflow from a clogged drain. Following it came a noisome spew of guts, flabby bags of yellowish-red jelly. Most of them split and began to steam as soon as the air hit them. Sandy turned, the back of his hand pressed hard against his mouth until he was sure he wasn't going to vomit, and then he yelled, "Herb, if you still want to look, now's your chance, quick as you can." Why getting Herb Avery on scene should have been the first thing he thought of, Sandy could not later say. At the time, however, it seemed perfectly reasonable. If he had called his dead mother's name, he would have been equally unsurprised. Sometimes one's mind simply passes beyond one's rational and logical control. Right then, he wanted Herb. Dispatch is never to be left unattended. It's a rule anyone in rural law enforcement knows, the fabled automatic. But rules were made to be broken, and Herb would never see anything like this again in his life. None of them would. And if Sandy couldn't have videotape, he would at least have a witness. Two, if George got back in time. Herb came out fast, as if he had been standing right inside the back door and watching through the screen all along, and sprinted across the nearly empty parking lot in the red light. His face was both scared and avid. Just as he arrived, George steamed back around the corner, waving a fresh battery for the video camera. He looked like a game show contestant who has just won the grand prize. "Oh, mother, what's that smell?" Herb asked, clapping his hand over his mouth and nose so that everything after "mother" came out muffled. "The smell isn't the worst," Sandy said. "You better get a look while you still can." They both looked and uttered almost identical cries of revulsion. The fish was blown out, all down its length by then, and deflating, sinking into the black liquor of its own strange blood. White billows rose from its body and the innards which had already spilled from that gaping flamant. The vapor was as thick as smoke rising from a pile of smoldering damp mulch. It obscured the Buick from its open trunk forward until Old 54 was nothing but a ghost car. If there had been more to see, Sandy might actually have fumbled longer with the camera, perhaps getting the battery in wrong ways on the first try, or even knocking the whole works over and breaking it in his fumble-fingered haste. The fact that there was going to be damn little to tape, no matter how fast he worked, had a calming effect, and he snapped the battery home on the first try.